Hi, good morning. This is Candia Sanders, and I'm in today for Mike Schultz. Mike does the Odyssey program, and he is off today. And I just wanted to again promote his new CD and DVD that he has coming out on all the sacred sites. He has been talking about it on the radio as well as doing presentations for it. So if you have a chance, please take the time to look into it. It looks to be awesome. I'm actually going to go to his promotion here in the next couple of weeks because it's brand new. So if you are at all interested in sacred sites around the planet, please check it out. Now, for those of you who are or have been listening on a regular basis, I joined Mike a couple of weeks ago, and I am an intuitive, have been intuitive my entire life, and then decided to take it more public because life kind of got in the way and said, this is what you're doing, Candia. So I was on the radio for a year and then took a break, and then Mike asked me to join him again. So here I am once again on the radio and loving it. It's a very fun process. It's a great way of interacting with people from all across the nation as well as other countries. And today, actually, rather than doing this just myself, I have asked someone to join me today so that we can have an interactive conversation throughout the program, giving you some information that I think that would be really beneficial to all of us at this time of year. She is an intuitive also, but she deals specifically with animals. Her name is Karen Anderson. She's from Spokane, Washington. I'm also from the state of Washington. And we thought we would enlighten you today with some fun stories about people and pets and how the stresses of the holidays and this time of year can affect all of us. So please welcome Karen Anderson.
Good morning, Candia.
Good. I'm glad you're there.
I'm here.
Okay, good. Well, what we decided to do with this is just kind of come up with some ideas and then talk about it. And if any of you are listening and would like to call in and ask any questions, please do. The web on the website are the numbers where you can reach us here at the station. If you do have any questions over the next hour, that would be more than welcome. We love having questions. It puts us on the spot and pulls up some great information. So if you want to have any kind of questions asked about this time of year and how you can deal with it, a friend of mine is an astrologer, and I am somewhat apprised of what's going on in terms of that. And I think that Mercury was in retrograde and out of retrograde, which puts our communication at a standstill. So for those of you that have felt like you haven't been able to communicate, that's one level. In terms of my clients, how I have seen stresses is that we get so busy with our day-to-day dramas that we tend to kind of get overloaded. But what I'm also seeing is an emotional stress that's been real heavy with, and it's more universal. It's not a specific type of what I would call emotional stress. It's just this, what I always call luggage, extra weight on the shoulders, and then how it has been affecting everybody's moods and then their quote-unquote reactions to things. And that's, again, why I brought in Karen, because that then goes into how pets then take on our reactions to things. And the key, I think, for all of us is to remember how to deal with the simplicity of life and how to stop the process. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Karen, give me from your perspective some of the problems that have been arising in your business lately with clients that call in about their pets.
Well, the majority of the calls that I get at this time of year are usually from a client who has normally had an animal or pets, animal companions in the home that have been doing pretty well for most of the year, and now suddenly they're displaying unusual behavior, or perhaps they're not eating properly, perhaps they're becoming a little more aggressive or a little more subdued, and sometimes the litter box issues come into play at this time of year.
I think that could be also be said about teenagers.
Definitely. And I also get a lot of lost animal calls at this time of year because we have visitors coming in and out of our homes and doors are left open. So it is a very stressful time of year.
Well, then, from your view, okay, before I go there, actually, from my view, I've been thinking about this because I just, you know, I can take it just to the home level and the stresses of I've got teenagers and then their friends. And then again, a lot of my clients, what I have felt that's really, really important is simplicity. And then making time, even if you carve out 15 minutes a day, and everybody, I think, can find 15 minutes. If you have to go lock yourself in the bathroom, I'm a real believer in bathroom time, you know, whether it's a shower or a hot bath or just you lock the door and say, excuse me, mom's being busy or dad or whatever, so you can have that time to decompress. But bring in creativity if possible. So to me, that's taking time to read. In this case, maybe you need just to read a novel and not read something where you have to learn something new at this point. Being able to paint or draw or create packages, you know, gifts, taking time to make something for somebody. Maybe it's just baking a loaf of bread. To me, those things are incredibly decompressing, that creative time. And one of the bits, then we're going to ask about the animals. I just went to the seminar, and I had the good fortune of being able to see some of the top people in energy work, because I also do energy work. And one of the leaders, his name is Dr. John Diamond, if you want to go on the web and check out his website, his books, Dr. John Diamond. He's originally from Australia. And I've always been a firm believer in music. But what he did in this lecture, he made it very visible how important music is in our lives and the impact and how it can help us regain our energy. And what they did, as in the, well, I wouldn't call it experiment, but the example, is he brought several people up on the stage, and then his wife, who is an opera singer, now you may or may not like opera, but it's irrelevant, she taught us several lines of a particular, of Puccini. Well, I've never sung Puccini, but she had us sing Puccini. And prior to that, they muscle tested the individuals up above and if they were low in energy. And then once we sang to these people, and they would test different chakras or energy points on the meridians on the body and the muscle test them. After we sang to them, their energies, it was amazing. Even where there had been weaknesses in the body, it's as if they absorbed this positive energy from the music, and it helps change their whole dynamic. That also goes into how the music of today can be so disruptive to our kids' energies and to the frequencies of their brains. So to me, maybe I'm old-fashioned, maybe I haven't come up enough, but it doesn't matter. We can always override things. However, all I have to do is look at the violence across America to recognize that there's something a little off balance here. So again, for decompressing and handling the stresses from a human level, music is so important. So if you can decompress and calm down, chill out, your animals will too. And now take it away, Karen.
Absolutely. I find that when we are stressed and not paying attention to ourselves and we have too many things on our to-do list, it translates right over to our animal companions. We do share our home space with them. We share energies with them. We oftentimes spend more time with our animal companions than we do with some of our human relatives. And unfortunately, they do take on our stressors. They're very connected to us, and they're very much by our side through these times of the holidays. And we need to be aware that what we bring home to them and what we live through each day, they experience on a different level. And they don't always understand human stressors. So it'll manifest a little bit differently. They'll start displaying a certain odd behavior, they'll go off their food, or they'll suddenly start becoming more aggressive. These are very normal signs of stress from our animal companions. And along with what Candia was suggesting with calming music and taking time for ourselves, our animals can benefit from these types of things as well. There's lots of great calming music out there for dogs and cats, and also I highly recommend the use of flower essences during the holidays. It's a great way to enter natural flower essences into their systems to help calm them down and just relax them and make them feel more at peace and more comfortable with all the activities going around the house.
Well, actually, I'm going to add to that, as I would highly recommend doing that for ourselves. You can go to any of the health food stores and find Bach Flower Remedy Rescue Remedy Spray, and that's something you can carry in your purse, in your pocket, and you can use that spray over your body, spray on your mouth, spray on your face, spray on your temple, the temples, but also the wrists, and that will actually help you calm. It's also great to have in terms of emergencies. You know, there are a lot of different brands out there in terms of flower essences. Bach Flower Remedies actually is, here's a little bit of information. I was told that he was actually Welsh and his name was Bach, but because it looked like Bach, we've called it Bach for the last 100 years, but his name is actually Bach.
But I didn't know that.
Yes, a little bit of tidbit there. But Bach Flower Remedies, what's good about them is they're a basic remedy, and so from my view, to validate Karen on this, is I feel that they're really good and not too complicated of an essence for animals. Because from my view, again, from working with healing with humans, which again goes into animals, is that animals don't need all the complications that we do. It's pretty cut and dry. They don't need all the hoopla that we do. And so that's where the Bach Flower Remedies, and they're easy to come by. Even our local Fred Meyer carries Bach Flower Remedies. So how easy is that? And I'm in total agreement with you, Karen, on this, because I think that it's an easy way to help calm things. And you can put a dropper in their water, or you put it on their pads.
Right, you can also put it right on the inside of their ears, or you can even put a few drops on your hand and then rub your hand over the animal's back, and they will absorb that into their system.
Well, that's a great idea. That is a wonderful idea. I'm also, I don't know if you could use these with pets as much as people, but essential oils are, you know, in that category, but also very calming. Having lavender on hand, as an example, I think is just a great one. Not to mention if you've got you've been sitting too long at the desk and then you feel you have to go out and, you know, bake your turkey and get your shopping and blah, 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 all those things, is lavender is really good for calming the muscles down as well. Again, though, I don't know if you can use those unless you put them on the pads of animals.
Yeah, I would be very careful about using those with the animals. I would stick more to the flower essences. The Pet Naturals calming formula, there's so many different options out there now on the internet and available even in local PetSmart. There's just a very large variety.
Do you think PetSmart carries this now?
Yeah, PetSmart has them.
Oh, that's impressive. I haven't been into a PetSmart in several years. That is great. So that says things have shifted even there.
Just be sure to check your shelf life, the expiration dates, because you want to be sure to get a fresh sample. You want to be sure to get something that is fresh to the shelf.
Well, you know, this is something else too. When you said this is a PetSmart, it goes into what I feel to be going on the planet, is that time is accelerating, and we're getting caught up in this time warp. In essence, really, ironically, time is slowing down. But in our view, and it's very visible that it's speeding up. And within this time frame, though, of speeding up and accentuating everything, what I have found to be true is that what wasn't visible even 5 years ago is now visible. For example, flower essence, talking about it, that you can find them in a local grocery store. They can go to PetSmart and find these products that 5 years ago people would have rolled their eyes about. You'd have to go to a vet or a specialty store. People are becoming so much more aware on a yearly basis. I find it just absolutely fascinating. Things that I have talked about, because again, this has been my life for the last 40 years, are now becoming mainstream. Look at the Da Vinci Code as an example, you know, bringing different truths to light in a form of fiction, quote-unquote fiction, to be able to present these ideas. And so again, it goes back to where you are, Karen, with being able to find these products. It just absolutely amplifies. I just love this because I haven't been into a PetSmart, to be able to find these products for our pets and have it mainstream.
Absolutely. It's something that we are coming into, and I'm seeing more and more, and it's really nice to see that the local stores are starting to carry these products, because the demand is there and the consumer is asking for these products, and so they're providing them for us. And you can still have a huge variety on the internet, but now being able to go into a local store and purchase these items, it is really nice to see that.
Well, this goes back into not only my belief, but it's absolutely evident out there on the planet. Now, here's something else to ponder, is that I read this, and then also it's been emphasized with my clients, and that is we are moving it as we move into 2007, and again, our calendars are kind of off, who's to say, if we're not at 2012, actually. However, with that said, is that we are going into this speeding up of time where we are experiencing life at such a rapid rate that we are experiencing what I would say karma, or a word kind of generalized in that term, 100 years in 1 year, which means that what you put out will come back to you in 1 year's time rather than having to wait a lifetime or two, 100 years worth. So with that said, everything is amping up. That means we're amping up, and we've got to learn how to deal with that. We've got to learn how to stay present. And again, the more present we stay with where we are, it's better for our animals. And again, actually, from my view, I feel that's where animals teach us how to be more fully present.
I agree. I think that is definitely the case. And with the animals that I communicate with and the messages that they give me, one of the recurring themes that I hear from them is they spend their time right now in the moment of what they're doing right here and right now. Most of the time, their humans will talk about yesterday or the past or tomorrow in the future, and our animals are focused on right here and right now. And it's a lesson that we should probably stop and learn from them. We spend so much of our time focused on the future or the past that we miss the moment that we're in and doing the most that we can right now and enjoying the time that we are in right now. And that is something that the animals have taught me over the years, is to be more present and to enjoy where you are right at this moment.
Oh, absolutely. No. Here's a question. How long have you been communicating with animals
At this level, I have been a professional animal communicator since 2003. And as a small child, always connecting with the animals and understanding them on levels that were probably much higher than I should have been. But as an adult, I have been practicing since 2003.
For the audience, I think this is really fun. Please share your number of pets, please. It's just
oh,
fun.
Do I have to?
Yes, you have to. I just think it's great, because then it will, from my view, this is just my opinion, my view, my observation. I feel that when people understand what you have done, Karen has taken in so many animals. You know, if there's an animal that needs to be rescued, they're going to call Karen.
And they have my direct line.
They do. And she has then moved some of these animals on to other homes that need to find a specialty home. And there have been those that she has kept. In knowing how many pets and animals she has at her home, you can appreciate even more her ability to communicate with animals at the level that she does. So anyway.
Well, thank you for that. I have right now approximately 35 animals. I have horses, cats, dogs, chickens, rabbits, fish, and I'm also a foster home. I do rescue work for a nonprofit animal rescue, and so I take in a lot of animals and provide foster care for them, and then we find placement in adoptive homes for them. So it's an ever-changing number, and I generally steer towards the animals that are more difficult to place. I will end up with the ones that have some kind of a medical issue or some kind of behavioral issue, because as an animal communicator, I'm able to work with them on a higher level and can really connect with them as far as their special needs and in finding the right homes for them once they have been rehabilitated and kind of taken care of on a special level. So I do have many, many animals here, and I love it. It's my life. I believe in giving back. You have to give back in this world. And so I do a lot of volunteer work as well with feral cats, trap, neuter, and return, where you humanely trap the feral cats in these. Feral cats are cats that are wild or have had no human contact.
I think there are a lot of men like that out there.
There are. There's a lot. And they're humanely trapped. I bring them in for sterilization or medical treatment, and then they're released back into their colonies. And this is all done with grant money, and I also write the grants to provide the funds so that we can continue this, as well as providing low-cost spay and neuter certificates to low or no-income families. So I do a lot of work in the volunteer for the animal rescues, and I'm very proud of that. So thank you for asking about that.
Well, I think it's great, and I think you should be complimented for what you do. I have two cats, and I had one dog, and, of course, I have teenagers, so that adds a different mix to it. But to be able to maintain your home with that many animals is so much incredible work. It's like having five teenagers all the time. I mean, what you do is really impressive, and I do think it's important, because I do think it sheds a greater light on what it is that you do and your ability to communicate. Now, one other thing I want to add, when she was talking, she said communicate with her higher self. Now, on my side of this, now, I'm going to backtrack for just a second, and that is I met Karen and her husband, Dan, almost 3 years ago, and we connected just right away. And what's been really fun with that is that we've had the opportunity then to share clients together, because the issues can override one another. For example, if she's working with someone with a pet and the real issue actually goes to the parent, to the people, and they need to have a little extra perspective on it, then she'll turn them to me. And if they have dogs that are challenged, for example, then I'll send them to Karen or whatever. And so I have great respect for what Karen can do. What she was talking about was connection with higher self. Now, what I do in terms of working with people, I thank the universe every day for having, this gets to be my job, so to speak, because what I do is I read your higher self or a client's higher self to find out just what's going on. I mean, I could make this stuff if I wanted to, and I'm sure Karen feels the same way when
Absolutely.
It comes to pets. It just is amazing to me, the information that will come through, and it could be somebody walking down the street that everybody else would ignore, because these people, a particular person could be kind of a neutral person. They don't put out a lot of energy. They don't put out a lot of color in terms of their clothes, their energy, whatever. And yet, when you sit down and talk to them, the information that comes from the higher self is just phenomenal. And what it does for me on a weekly basis working with clients is it's very humbling. It puts everybody at equal status. In fact, there's a great quote from Susan Trott's book, The Holy Man. Look at everybody as if they were holy people. You know, if we looked at every person as a holy man, our whole view would change. And that's why in reading people's higher self, it's phenomenal information. And I have learned so much from my clients. I am a much wiser, richer, more emotionally in touch, compassionate person because of my clients and reading their higher selves. I just was given, I believe all of us can do this. I don't think there's any of us who can't do it. It's like Karen's focused her attention on this. I have focused my attention on this. You know, I came into this world more open. Karen did too, but it doesn't discount anybody else. I feel that we all have this ability. I feel we're all going in this direction. So we all need teachers along the way. I feel that's where Karen and I come into this picture of the more we learn, the more we're able to teach others and how to access their own intuition and their own higher consciousness. So again, back to the higher self perspective, to me how I see it is that there is a part of our soul, you know, Jane Roberts called it the oversoul, that resides in the astral levels, that aspect that is always connected to source. And so being able to access that and read that information, I'm one of those, I see pictures, I hear things, and then put it together. And the words that come through for me, and again, it's not my information. All I do is I actually have the extra headphones, the extra glasses to be able to hear and see this. Now, I asked Karen this same question a little bit earlier in terms of how she deals with the animals. I'm going to backtrack one more time, and that is, I can, as intuitive, I can get senses from animals. However, I haven't focused in on the words and information that she gets. She has focused her attention at that level and has gotten some incredible, incredible results. And then there have been times when the two of us have played off one another, and I'm getting pictures, and she gets in, and it's like, oh, there we go, there we go, there we go. And we go off out into the ethers, practically, in terms of the information that we're getting downloaded with. Now, in terms back to Karen, I'm going to go back to Karen. I asked her earlier about how does she communicate, and what part of the animal does she communicate with, and so I'll let her tell that.
Well, the basis of my work is on telepathy. That is a mind-to-mind communication. We are all, as humans, capable of telepathy. In fact, human twins are well known for their telepathic abilities. Mothers and daughters, mothers have an intuitive sense about their children. If something is wrong or if something has happened to them, you get a sense or a feeling. Your gut kind of spins a little bit, that sort of thing. We as humans all have telepathic abilities. They just will fade if you don't use them and exercise them, just like any other skill like golf or tennis. And what I have done is I have focused my work to be with the animals, and I connect with the animals telepathically, just like you can connect with a human telepathically. And I do believe that I am connecting with the higher soul of the animal, because the animal in its physical form, when I am communicating with them, will continue doing whatever it is the animal is doing, sleeping, resting quietly, playing, whatever that animal is doing, their physical body will be doing whatever it's doing at that moment. But I'm able to connect with them on this higher level and hear words, see images, feel feelings, or get a sense or a knowing, just like Candia does in her work with humans. And then I am able at that point to basically be the translator and explain what it is that I'm getting in response to whatever questions or concerns the client may have about their animal. And it can be anything from simple and charming and humorous. I just had a Persian cat that I was checking in on, and his name is Henry. And his human was asking, you know, can you check in with Henry and let him know that I'm in charge around here? And Henry's response was, well, tell my mom that there's no confusion because I am the boss around here. So you just never know what they're going to come up with. Sometimes they can be very humorous, and then other times they can be, you know, quite philosophical, and they almost take my breath away with some of the information that they provide. Another quarter horse named Chief that I was communicating with, his human asked what Chief's beliefs were as far as a higher power or a god type of belief system. And Chief answered, there is only one creator residing within each of us, and it is our fear that keeps us from knowing and believing.
That is incredible.
It's very humbling. You know, I will deliver the message as I hear it and as I'm getting it. And sometimes I just have to take a step back and just be amazed at the information that comes through. You just never know. They'll bring through deceased human loved ones. If you're supposed to get a message from somebody, they will take the opportunity, the animals will bring them through, and they will take that opportunity to come through with a message for you. If you're supposed to get a message, you will get it.
Oh, that's great. For example, let's say someone's mother just passed over, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's impressive.
I had a session with a client whose mom had passed in July of this year, and I was communicating with her cat, and the cat is still living. The cat was alive. The cat brought through the mother's energy, and I could sense the mother's energy coming through, and the mother handed the client a bouquet of pink roses. And the client immediately responded that pink roses were her mother's favorite flower.
Oh,
so
isn't that great?
You just never know who the animals will bring through. They stay connected to us even in the spirit world. It's like they've never left us.
Here's a question for you, though. I have, you know, with all of my multitudes of reading and exploring, and I'm trying to remember the author's name because this was years ago when I read this, So I want your opinion on this. I would like your feedback on this. The author was talking about, this woman was a communicator as well, that again she had the higher self, the higher oversoul, in essence, of an animal. And then there was the overriding animal's energy, for like a, let me think, I can't remember, to be honest with you, the term. It just came to me when I was listening to you about how then she would connect to the overriding soul, like the dominant cat energy or the highest angel cat type of, for lack of a better word at this moment, like that there's a one that is the group collective and that their energy then can help permeate.
Yeah, there is a belief that animal souls go into a collective soul, like all dolphin souls go into one collective group, and that you can tap into that energy as well. The whales and the dolphins especially are
more group.
They are. They send us incredible messages, mostly about the earth and humankind and the animals and the plight of those of us here on earth. So yes, there are collective souls, if you will, that the energies gather together out there. My focus and what I do is I connect on the individual level to deliver messages specific to that individual and specific to that animal. So I focus in more on the individual messages than on the group or collective soul, like the dolphins and the whales.
Okay. Well, again, this is what you do full time. So I remember, it seems like it was Shapiro was the last. I keep hearing the name Shapiro, so that must be the author's name. I have to go back through my books again. But I remember reading that, and I thought, okay. And they had suggested in there that you go to that group oversoul and talk to them when you have a lost animal so they could kind of set this huge blanket of energy all over to try and find them and help guide that pet home.
Yes, lost animals are a very difficult call to take, and most of the difficulties come because of the negative energy that their human is putting out there. It kind of causes ripples in the waves of energy, if you will. It's like standing too close to the microwave with a cordless phone, you know, how you kind of start to lose your connection. It very much feels like that because the human is generally so upset and emotional about the lost animal. It can be very, very difficult to tap into their energies. And these group or collective souls are very helpful in guiding and sending information in, specific to the location of where they are, describing the area that the animal is currently in or has currently been in. There's so much available to us that I'm able to tap into. It's pretty amazing to me, looking back now on my professional career from when I first started, getting simple information from the animals, what's their favorite treat, what's their favorite toy, to now I've moved up into the realms of, you know, welcoming other energies and souls through deceased human loved ones, bringing messages, just amazing things to my clients, and it's all because of the animals and how connected they are to us.
Mm-hmm. And of course also goes into, as the interpreter, you're the communicator, it's just your ability to open up. I mean, I think it goes back to what I was talking about. We're in this accelerated time frame, and I feel that every day we are expanding, accelerating, opening up our own personal frequencies. And then we have the ability to communicate even more readily. I would suspect that they've always been willing and able to communicate at that level. It's our limitations that have stopped it.
Absolutely.
Not theirs.
Absolutely. It's often in the sessions that I have that I bring the truth. The animals bring the truth to me, so I will deliver whatever the animals say. And they're very honest. They're very open, and they're very simple in nature. And that's, again, something that as time is moving faster for us and things are coming at us at a much faster pace, it's important to remember to slow down and take the time and to to list your priorities and look at them and take them one at a time. And maybe we really don't have to do all 10 things on our list. And our animals are like our barometer. When we are in balance and when we are eating well and sleeping well and taking care of ourselves, our animals will reflect that.
Oh, absolutely.
And when our scales tip unevenly, so do the animals that we share our lives with. They'll start developing strange behaviors or strange illnesses. It's like having your own little barometer right there in your home with you.
So, you know, I want to add to that, too. It's very interesting. I have a cat that Karen has loved, petted, and communicated with. She is one of those, she was a kitten, as a kitten, she was one of the, she was the last of the litter to be taken. She was older when we got her and had been living with all of these little kittens. And so she was one of probably 15 and never felt like she had gotten enough food. So she overindulges often. And she is, I would think, almost overly produced. She's got all different kinds of Siamese in her. They bred her one step too much, and it's made her a little more high-strung. So in working with animals like that, it's almost as if you have, from my view, have to be even more calm to keep this one balanced, because she just kind of goes off if she wants to. She's
right.
She's her own little box of energy.
Yes, she is.
And so I'm sure that you deal with those kinds of animals as well. I do want to share something, and now that, again, when listening to you about lost pets, I had found this kitten. It was two summers ago now. Just this amazing little burst of spark of energy, an incredible little cat. And the last thing I needed was one more cat. We had two cats, didn't need another one, had a dog at the time. One more animal type of thing. And he just made himself right at home. Smart. Oh, my golly, he was smart. And then one day, we figured he was probably about 4 months old, he disappeared. And so, of course, what do? I said, Karen,
mm-hmm.
I need your help. I'm too emotionally close to this.
Right.
You live out in the country. I was concerned, because now we're going to take you on a little bit of a journey here, because this is out there stuff. I was concerned about coyotes, because we have coyotes, cars, whatever, maybe wandering to a neighbor, even though he'd never displayed any of that type of behavior. And so Karen started feeling him out. She goes, well, I feel like he's still nearby. I don't feel like he's gone. Well, again, this is what I talked about earlier in the show, how the two of us, when we can get together, we start getting information, and then she takes it, and then I get it, and we just kept going with it. And sometimes that's what you need. It's no different than when you have a regular issue with somebody at work or an emotional issue where you have a mirror in your life, a best friend, a colleague, whatever, and you can throw ideas out at one another so that you can come to a solution and a resolution to the idea. Well, we just do it. We just take it out there into other dimensions and other levels. What I had gotten, now this is a fascinating concept for those who have had lost pets, for those who might possibly in the future have a pet that disappears. What it showed to me is that what we see is but the pinhead of a pin in terms of reality. There are so many layers and levels of where we live on this planet. It's phenomenal. And what's great is that quantum theory, string theory, all these different sciences now are starting to prove what the metaphysicians have said for centuries about the different dimensions, the different levels, the different layers of the astral levels, parallel time frames, all of these different things that we as intuitives have felt are now being expressed in science, which is really great. Now, going back to my last pet, my last cat, I could sense that he literally disappeared, that he was not eaten. I felt as if he just walked into this dimensional hole and then exited, living here in the same time and space, but moved into another level of reality. Now, what was great, I kept going, I could tell you exactly where on the property, too, where that hole opened up and he disappeared. There have been times I have very intuitive kids that they have seen him out of the corner of their eye, and it was not as if he were had passed over, which can also happen for those who have had pets or loved ones that you see and sense that they are still there.
Right.
But this is out of a dimensional shift. Now, in talking about this, Karen goes, oh, my God, I've read about this, I've seen this, and I could see him moving into the other dimensions. And almost what I would say, I don't want to say that it was here, but the frequency level was different. It resonated, it vibrated at a different level. And he continued growing and learning. It reminded me of, as a kid, I'd watched the movie Thomasina, and the cat almost dies, and you see him climbing these almost what I call Egyptian steps. And it's, in a sense, how I felt about Loki as he was moving into these other dimensions. He was shifting. Now, when you saw that, Karen, did you see a similar picture?
I did. And what Loki, the kitty's name was Loki, for our listeners, when he showed me, I asked him to show me what it was he was looking at. He showed me clearly he was right with you. He showed me the inside of your house, the kitchen. He showed me the outside yard. It was very, very clear and very vivid to me in the messages that he was sending me. He clearly was right there with you. However, in the images that he gave me, Candia was not present. It's like Loki was there with her, yet she wasn't there. His reality of where he was parallel, but not exact to where Candia was. It was very, very interesting, the message that came through.
Mm-hmm. I looked at Loki. It was sad on, you know, from a human perspective, in essence, to quote-unquote lose him because he was no longer physically in our lives. However, I feel that Loki taught us something because at this household, we're always talking very out there type of concepts. And I really feel that Loki was a time traveler, a dimension hopper, and taught us that there's so much more that we don't know about. Another example with this cat, I have to share this because it's such a great story, is we were visiting my parents, and we had taken Loki with us. I didn't want to leave him home. Well, we were in the bedroom, and I was back there laughing with my kids and my partner, and my mom had walked in and she walked out, and we were just setting our bags down. We hadn't been there all that long, but Loki was getting a sense of the house and a feeling, and so he was doing his little Loki character wild thing, you know, running from room to room and sliding on the floor and just funny and just a great cat, adapting very quickly. And he ran down the hallway, and we were at that time again sitting on the bed. He ran into the side of the bed, and we thought he went under the bed, and then he didn't come out, so I looked under the bed to find him. There was no place for him to go.
Right.
The underneath this bed was all wood. It was a block bed. It was a mattress sitting on top of a wooden block. And we all looked at each other going, we know we just saw Loki go under there. Where did he go? 20 minutes later, and I am not exaggerating on this, 20 minutes later, my son and I, we were still in there, we were laughing and talking. And Loki, I know this may be a real huge stretch for some people, but trust me, this happened. He literally dropped out from underneath the comforter cover and just dropped down onto the floor and then ran down the hall as if nothing had happened.
Right.
And everybody looked at each other. And we said, did you just see what I just saw? He just materialized out of nowhere and ran on. And, of course, this happened about, a couple of weeks, maybe a month before he actually disappeared. And it was his gift to us to say, hey, there is so much more.
Right. And that's what Loki did for us, is he got us to open our minds to the possibility that there's more out there than just this physical, what we see around us right at this moment.
Yeah, and we don't have to die, literally.
No. We can continue on and still be connected and still grow and still change, and Loki showed us that. It was truly a gift.
Yeah, it was. And it really helped me to continue to look at all levels. When I work with people, I find that there, again, back to the oversoul, that there are aspects of ourselves in many places and times, and that those aspects of ourselves can influence who we are, where we are focused right now, which is at this moment, we are focused, our attention is focused in this reality. But if you dissolve that, you can focus in another reality. And those realities can influence who we are, our patterns of thought, our health issues, and or phobias or fears that can override. For example, going back to animals that eat too much from the time they were little, I see that with humans. And a lot of times with people, that what that happens is because at another time frame, they were starved. They were in a where there was not enough food, and so that feeling of want, that desire of being satiated, it was never fulfilled, and it still resides in the frequency of the soul, and it can affect then their being. And again, that's a very simple example, but it's one that I find to be quite true today when you see the amount of overweight people that are just walking the streets of America.
I would agree, definitely agree with that. And Candia, wouldn't you say too that it's a very common experience for you with your clients and the work, the energy work and the healing work that you do, that many times people will contact you wanting some insight about an issue or a problem that they're having, and when it comes right down to actually what it is that they need to apply or how it is that they need to shift or make a slight change, that most people are reluctant to do so for whatever reason, past values or past habits, and they're looking for instead the quick fix,
the magic pill,
or the easy way out, or for someone to just fix it for them. And what we need to remember is that we can all take this into our own lives and take control of this, and sometimes with just a slight shift, we can make some pretty drastic changes and improvements in our life.
Oh, I couldn't have said that better. It's so true. People call me up and say, well, Candia, just fix it.
Right,
just
can't
fix
you just
it.
Fix me? Fix me.
Just fix it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And what I feel as the communicator, the healer, the intuitive, where I become challenged is because once I read their higher self, it becomes so clear for me.
Very
I can
clear.
See, well, this here, da-da-da-da-da-da. And then in reality, it's up to that person, each individual, to make those shifts and those changes. And I've had to get out of my own way because what's happened is I used to have, and I probably still do from time to time, have a huge attachment to the outcome because I can see the potential. I can see the healing. I can see the body getting better. I can see the emotional self improving, and yet maybe a year later nothing has shifted, and I have to let go of that because it's to the individual. It's totally about the individual as to how they then deal with things. And again, from my view, we are overloaded with a lot of issues. For example, and I don't know if this is necessarily the truth with animals. I don't get a sense that it is. I think that's where animals are our balance. What I see is that the memories of our ancestors, literally going back like 7 generations, can come through our bloodlines, carried in. You know, doctors will look at it as a genetic pattern. How I see it is an emotional pattern that influences who we are and how we think, and then it becomes amplified as children when we see our parents acting out these same patterns and beliefs, and then it becomes part of our belief system, and then it's very difficult for us to get beyond them. And that's where talking about them, assessing them, going back in and changing our perspective on it so that we can shift it is what makes the difference. And again, that goes back to what you were saying, Karen, is that we all want it, you know, in a quick fix, but that's not what Earth's about. Earth's about doing the dance.
It is.
It's about creating our own heaven here on the planet. And how we do that is through conscious thinking and not letting the unconscious thoughts rule our everyday and thinking, our acting, our reacting. And again, that goes back into being fully present, because what usually the dramas are about are old patterns of behavior. And again, that's where I see pets are so good. In fact, as I'm sitting here, my cat just jumped on my lap. They teach us how to come right back to the present. her attitude is like, well, Mom, that's just way too heavy for me. Just pet me instead.
Yes.
But it's really true. I find this, that this is where we are so complicated and so complex and so intricate. Our bodies, to me, are amazing receptacles of information that we can tap into, and they are again, it's like animals are barometers, our bodies are too. Where there is an issue of discomfort or disease, there's usually some kind of emotional issue. I have not seen in any of my people that when there is a chronic issue of disease or pain, that it doesn't go back to some emotional issue. And those are the things that we need to really focus and concentrate our energies on.
And I agree with you. In my work, when a client contacts me regarding a behavioral issue or some kind of health issue that their animal is having, I can almost always trace it back to the human.
Yeah.
It almost always goes back. Not all the time, not 100%. There are those cases where it's just something the animal has on their own. But almost always, it can be traced back to the human.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm gonna add to that. To me, when there are issues with kids, it goes back to the parents.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the kids don't need to see the counselors. The parents do.
Absolutely. I spend more time counseling the human aspect than the animal. The animals get it. They're pretty simple. They get it. They do what they do either out of instinct or out of motivation. Humans have many more levels. They have the emotional levels, spiritual levels, physical levels. It's much more complex, and I spend much more time assisting and counseling the human aspect, because the animals will basically either figure it out on their own if we're not willing to guide them and support them and provide for them the things that they need. And then it's the humans that need to be coached and have suggestions to them. And that's where most of the behavior issues and health issues wind up going right back to.
Absolutely. Well, and it goes back to what you and I have been talking about earlier prior to the show, is responsibility. And I see responsibility at all levels, responsibility for how our health, our emotions, our reactions. On all levels, responsibility. So many people don't want to take responsibility. And Karen was sharing a story where, and I'll let her tell the story, about how the parent, the human, didn't want to take responsibility for the actions or the reactions of her animals. And she had a huge bearing on it. All she would have had to do was change a few things.
It wasn't a lot. It was a simple shift. A client has three little Pomeranians that have, of course, a ton of energy. And she lives in a high-rise building, very, very thin walls, and the dogs get very barky and noisy and create a lot of commotion while she's gone and at work. And she has gotten several notices that she will need to get rid of the dogs or move if she doesn't do something about it. Well, it came through, the messages from the dogs came through that, number one, they were bored. They were terribly, terribly bored. Even though their human mom was taking them to the dog park once a day, all that accomplished was to get them more wound up. It's like sending your kids to Chuck E. Cheese versus sending them to a piano lesson. They just get really, really wound up. So the dogs were wound up anyhow. They went to the dog park. They got even more wound up. And then Mom left for 8 to 10 hours a day, and they were just beside themselves with, what do we do with all this energy? Well, it came through very clearly. The messages came through that what she needed to do was to spend individual time with the dogs, focusing their energy in a positive direction, doing something positive and challenging to their brain, like you would challenge your child with piano lessons or something, very similar with the dogs. Focus their energy, their brain, on something challenging, asking them to do things for you, taking them on a structured walk, not just letting them run around at the dog park. And it was very simple what this client needed to do. And when we came down to the end of the session, we basically realized that she wasn't willing to do that. That was too much effort. She wanted me to just fix it, just tell them to stop barking. She wasn't willing to put the time in.
And I see that same
right.
situation with parents.
Right. Not willing to put the time in. We identified what the problem was. We identified what she needed to do to accomplish this, but she kept resisting. And when we got right down to the nuts and bolts of it, she wasn't willing to make those changes. She wanted me to just fix it for her. And of course, I don't live with the dog, so I'm not able to do that. It's up to her.
If they were living with you, you would take the time to do those few behavior modifications.
Yes. They all have needs. They all have different needs, just like we do. And the interesting note is what came out of the session is the dogs decided that by creating all of this commotion, that they created their human mom walking back through the door and coming home to them. They thought that by being noisy and barking and creating all this madness, that they were actually making their mama come through the door, is what we figured out through the messages.
Wow, that's amazing.
Which is quite untrue. Obviously, mom was coming home from work no matter what, but the dogs in their own mind thought that they were creating mom coming home. So you can see the problem just perpetuating there.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just seeing these three little dogs feeling they were creating this. Can't you just see that?
Yeah,
that
they're like, okay, your turn now, you go.
Yeah, it's just so cute.
It's
cute, and it'd be a great cartoon.
Yeah, not in reality, though.
Right, it needs to shift, but it's still, you could see how it played out within their energy. Now, in terms of, since we're getting close to the end of the hour, if you could, please tell us your website so people can get in touch with you.
That would be great. My website is KarenAnderson.net, and it's a very informative website. There's a lot of information on there about how communicating with animals works, a lot of information on what to expect with the session with me. Most of my work is done over the phone, telephone sessions, anywhere in the world. I have clients in Japan, so it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter where I am, it doesn't matter if the animal is living or deceased, but the easiest way to get me is through my website and through email, because like you, Candia, I am on the phone all day with clients.
Yep.
So the best way to get me is through email or through the website of KarenAnderson.net.
Great. Yeah, that's where Karen and I do share very similar trades, profession. I live on the telephone as well. I don't know what I would have done before the advent of the headset. Thank God for the headset because of working with energy. And you can reach me at www.candiasanders.com if you're at all interested in pursuing any more intuitive work, and couple that with body and energy work. Again, I'm like Karen, I do this at a distance and or in person. She and I do shows. We've got upcoming shows this next year. We work through the Body, Mind, and Spirit Expos. You can go to Body, Mind, and Spirit. Is theirs .com.org?
It's .net.
.net.
BMSE.net.
And you can look at their upcoming shows to see what programs might be available in your area, where you've got different people of all levels of metaphysical sciences that come in and speak, lecture, talk, have booths set up for information with different products and things like that, which goes back into our host, our main host of Odyssey, which is who is Mike Schultz, great guy.
Yes.
And again, check out his information here right through BBS Radio, and you can look at his new DVD that will be out, or actually is out. I don't put that in the past. It is out and available on Sacred Sites, which is also a very great topic of interest to delve into. It really makes you reach out and realize that we are just relearning what was already on the planet for millennium. Mike's got some great information on that. And Karen, it's been wonderful having you
here today. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And
what's your parting words from some great piece of wisdom?
My parting words is from Marzipan, who is a beautiful calico cat. She told me it's all about balance. We reflect back to you the balance in your heart.
Oh, that's wonderful. Is she an older cat, younger cat?
She's an older kitty. She's 10. And
yeah, it sounded like words of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, Karen, those are great. And if you want, she also has access on, once you contact her, she does a newsletter, and she shares these wonderful tidbits of information from the pets, too. So if you're interested in that, please contact Karen. And next week, Mike will be back here on the show at Odyssey in the morning, and then again, it's taped in the morning and then is, live in the morning and taped at night on Thursday nights at 9. He'll be back in his usual seat giving us information on his latest and greatest, and I will be joining the show in the latter half of the hour. Please join us and enjoy other programs here on BBS because they have got some incredible programming and some wonderful information for all of you to really enjoy. Thank you for joining us for this past hour, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future. I'm Candia Sanders, and it's been fun having you as our guest, and thank you again to Karen Anderson.
Thank you for having me.
Great, and have a wonderful week. Thank you again. This is Candia Sanders, and it's now the end of the hour. You have a wonderful week, and using those words from that darling little kitty, work and strive towards balance. It's the best gift you can give yourself. On that, I will say adieu.